Amen. All right, all right, all right. Sit down, sit down, sit down. You guys, you know what I think of every time I see that? How many guys know what the game whack-a-mole is? Right? Just pound them back down. That's just what I think of. I don't know. I know the cheering is just like when Justin Daniels used to say, "I love you, Brother King." I know you don't mean it. I know you don't mean it. I do love you. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad to have the opportunity. I really am. It's a, I count it a privilege anytime, anywhere that I get to preach the Word of God, but especially here and especially to you. It is, next to, of course, my family and my home. Chloe's here. I love Chloe. I love her more than probably all of you put together. But next to that, I love the young people of Hiles Anderson College. I really do. I'm honored to get to serve with you and to serve you. And I'm excited. This morning's message, I told my class a little bit ago, I said this morning's message really is just something that the Lord has blessed me with and convicted me with over the last couple days. And I'm just going to give you probably just a little bit of insight into my own life and something the Lord has helped me with. And I'm hopeful that the Lord will use it to be a help to you and challenge your heart a little bit, because he sure has challenged me. So turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church there, And has been there to visit them, been there, invested in them, helped the establishment of that church. Of course, 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with a lot of problems and things. 2 Corinthians is a lot of really commending them and helping them and encouraging them to stay on the right track and to continue to grow from where they're at. And he gets to chapter 12, and it's a little more, I'm going to say, a little more personal note, a little bit more of a focus on Paul. And he's the author, and telling them a little bit more about himself and maybe some things that he's been through and things that he's endured. And this is where, of course, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure, in verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it twice. He says, God, in previous verses, he had said that God had given him abundance of revelation. God had blessed. God's obvious hand was on Paul's life. And it was evident to Paul and everybody else around him. But basically what he says, lest I should be exalted above measure, he says, just as God's gift to me to keep me humble, he gave me a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan, it says, to buffet me. He says, God gave me something. God provided for me something in my life to keep me humble. He says again at the end of the verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, I don't want to exalt myself, but also, I believe many people believe that this thorn in the flesh may have been some sort of speech impediment. And then, of course, also he had physical ailments, partly because of surely the beatings and things, stonings that he had endured and all of that, but probably was a frail, not a big imposing figure, more of a frail kind of guy that probably struggled physically and everything else. And he says, God had used me greatly, but to help keep me humble, and not for just for me to not be exalted above measure, but for other people as well. You know, our nature is to take people that are, you know, if they're good looking and big and sharp and athletic and all that stuff, we just in our own minds, we just automatically kind of exalt them or elevate them. And so whether it was in Paul's own mind or in the view of other people, he said, God gave me something that would keep that from happening at some level. And that's just an amazing thing to say, just his spirit in that and saying, I understand. I besought the Lord thrice. He says, I asked God three times to remove it from me. But God said, no. God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, more gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Because God's strength is evident. I want everybody in this room, I believe, if you're walking with God, you want God's power to be evident in your life. And the weaker you are, the more evident it is that God did that. And he said, because of that, because I know that anybody can look at me physically and listen to me and watch me and see, whatever happens in that guy's life, you know for sure it's not because of him. If God does anything with that guy, it's because of God and not him. And he said, when I'm weak, he's strong. It's evident in my life. I said the other day in one of my classes, I said, how many of you guys would like to have a miracle happen in your life? Of course, everybody raises their hand. I said, how many of you would like to be in a position where it had to take a miracle? Of course, nobody wants that. We want the miracle, but we don't want the position that requires a miracle. I need God to miraculously, you know, school bills are due this weekend, right? School bills due Monday. I need God to miraculously provide, right? It would be awesome if God would miraculously pay my school bill. I really would rather not be in a position where God had to miraculously, you know, if you go to work, that helps. But I'd rather not be in a position where God had to pay my school bill, but if I was ever in that position, it sure would be awesome to see God do that. But all of that, Paul kind of works through all of those things, and then he gets down to our text for today. Just that was just kind of give you a little background, but get down to verse number 14 with me, if you will. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 12 says this, behold, the third time, 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. He says, I'm going to come to you. This is now the third time I'm coming. And I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. I would underline that if I was you or Mark. We're going to come back to that in a minute. He says, I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. And then verse 15 says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you know my heart, and you know what you've done in my heart, even just over the last couple of days, including from this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that it would be the heart of every person in this room, that they would say, that we would say, more gladly, therefore, will I spend and be spent. Would you help us today? Would you use me this morning to be a blessing to somebody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on that thought, spend and be spent. Spend and be spent. I am going to ask a couple people to help me. I need a couple of things. I need somebody, a guy. I'm going to use guys for all of this, and girls, it's biblical because the Bible says, you know, Joseph, he said he's not willing to make her a public example. So we're going to make all the guys public examples, okay? He didn't want to make the girls public examples. We're going to use guys. So I need, first of all, and you guys can help me with this. Some of you men, you would know, maybe your girlfriend, maybe a girl, you know that this is your boyfriend. I need a guy. I'm going to use Peter Hawkins in a minute too, so it can't be him. I need somebody else that has a lot of cash. Somebody that carries a lot of cash. Give me somebody. Those that have cash, they're like saying, no way, Brother King, I ain't coming up there. You're going to take all my money. I need one guy, somebody, I need a volunteer. Somebody about, Tyler, you got cash? Come on. Tyler's got cash. All right. Tyler's going to help me. It's kind of funny that Peter's going to help me too. You'll see why in a minute. Come on up here. All right. Then I need a guy, and these next two cannot be a guy that is playing in the basketball game today. Okay? You'll see why in a minute. So I need a guy that is physically fit, a strong guy. Okay, give me one guy that is physically fit. I need a willing victim or a volunteer. Who are we pointing at? Tyler? Tyler? Come on, Tyler, it's your birthday. It's your birthday, and guess what, Tyler? I know, did you guys recognize the fact that Brother Rob just kind of made an executive order that girls don't have to wear ties on their birthdays? He just signed that right into law, just like that. Come on up here, Tyler. Tyler, because it's your birthday, I'm going to let you take your tie off for this. And, wait, you don't have to put it on for the rest of the day. You can leave it off for the rest of the day, okay? Just for today. All right, so I got Tyler, and I need one more person, and this person, again, has to be a guy. But listen carefully. This has to be somebody that is very passionate and excited. Listen. Okay, hold on. Shh, quiet. Listen. This is for a reason. I need somebody that's passionate and excited about a sports team, a particular sports team. I don't care what the team is. Come on up. All right, Bobby. All right, so, Bobby, what team are you passionate about? Florida State Seminoles. How many of you guys are Florida State fans? You know what? I think Bobby knows that none of you are passionate about it, and he doesn't care. I believe that about Bobby. Do you care if any of these guys are fans of Florida State? Zero effect on him whatsoever. His father has thoroughly corrupted him beyond repair. He cannot be brought back. So, here's what we're going to do. We're talking about spending and being spent, okay? There is a difference, okay? I'm going to start with Tyler. So come on over here, Tyler. This Tyler. I forgot I had two Tylers. All right, Tyler. Without stopping, how many push-ups do you think you can do?
40.
40?
I think.
I can do 40 push-ups. No, I'm not going to have a push-up contest with Tyler. He would beat me. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Right now, just come over right over here. Come here. I need you to get down and give me 10 push-ups. Good push-ups, no girl push-up. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Stop, get up, thank you. Give him a hand. Stay here. Okay, I need somebody that's honest. TJ Mahaffey, come on, TJ. So here's what I need. These guys aren't going to get to hear most of the rest of the message, okay? So they're going to listen to it online later. I want you guys to go back here and listen. Tyler, as soon as you get back here and I shut this door, I want you to start doing push-ups and don't stop. TJ, you're going to watch him. I'm doing that just so they won't be a distraction to you, but we'll bring them out later, all right? Now I got Bobby. Bobby, it's one thing to be like passionate. Like I would say when it comes, you guys know that I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. Brother Judah's a Bears fan. Okay. That's not changing. Okay. It's not negotiable. It's not for sale. You say, Brother King, if I gave you $1 million, would you say go Bears? Of course I would. It's $1 million. I wouldn't be a Bears fan at heart, but I would say that for $1 million. Of course, it's not my salvation. But it's one thing to be passionate and say you're not changing the fact that I'm a Florida State fan. It's another thing to be a vocally, outwardly passionate fan. Agreed? Okay. So I want you, just give me your very best Florida State Seminole cheer right now. Just give me the best thing you got. Oh, he's coming to the platform. All right. Good job, give me a hand. Okay, so I need another honest guy. Ben, come up here. You're honest. All right. All right, actually, here's what I'm gonna do. Bobby, go down there with Ben. Here's what I need you guys to do. Not push-ups. Ben and Bobby, you have your ID with you? Okay. I need you to go outside the Malone doors. Outside, outside. And Bobby, I want you to do that cheer at the top of your lungs. Listen, until I send somebody to come get you. Ben, you make sure he doesn't quit, okay? Go ahead. All right. Tyler, you got money. I saved you for last. How many of you recognize the fact that Tyler didn't shave today? I let the other Tyler go without a tie. I'm going to let this Tyler go without shaving for today. He's going to shave by bus route tomorrow, though. Okay. Tyler, I'm sure you have lots of money, way more than any of these guys on the platform, especially me. Can I get a dollar?
Yeah.
He probably doesn't have a single, right? Oh, he does have a single. All right. You notice he put his wallet back away, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't too painful, right? That was pretty easy. It's kind of like doing 10 push-ups or one Florida State cheer. Tyler, how much money do you have in your wallet right now? Okay. I'm going to show you how easy this is. Where's Peter? Come here, Peter. This is your big brother. Okay? He's going to beat you up and take your money. No, I'm just kidding. He's not really going to. He probably couldn't. I don't know. It'd be tough. Peter, how much money do you have in your wallet? $302. Yeah, I hope his school bill is paid. Peter, can I have a dollar? Just $1. I should have asked Peter to come up here instead of Tyler. For both of them, that was pretty easy. Peter, you have $302?
Here's your $1.
$301 now. Peter, can I have all of your money? I'm counting it. $301. Thank you. You can be seated. You say, Brother King, you're going to give that back after chapel, right? Took my wife on a date last night. I got to recoup my losses. Not that taking her on a date was a loss, just the financial loss of it all, okay? Tyler, he was pretty willing to give me that money. Did he steal that from you?
No, I don't think so.
Not that I know of. Can I have all of your money?
My cash?
Yes. This is great. I'm going to preach every day now. I'm making money. All right, you can be seated. Thank you. I'll count it. Let's see how much money Tyler had. 80. Oh, 100. 105. $106 I got from Tyler. That's a blessing. Brother Mitchell, I need to preach at least once a week so that I can pay my bills. That would be a blessing. Now I know why guys go into evangelism. This is fantastic. So I got to tell you something, okay? For Tyler, it wasn't a big deal for him to give me a dollar, right? Especially, he knew he had more cash, and for Tyler, a dollar probably isn't a lot of money. And I'll be honest with you, $105 or $6 that Tyler gave me, probably for Tyler isn't everything he's got. He's probably going to be okay tomorrow. He might be able to pay his school bill this month. He's probably going to survive. But there's a difference between can I get a dollar and can I get everything. There's a difference. Here's the thing, and I've got to be full disclosure. The money that Peter gave me was my money. I gave that money to Peter. You're like, Brother King, where'd you get $300? I told him. I said, that's my offering money for this week. So don't run off with it, okay? I just tell God, God, Peter's got it. You got to go get it from him. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not chasing him down. But here's the thing. Number one, it's easier to give everything for Peter because he realized it wasn't his in the first place. He realized it all belonged to me and he was just giving back to me what was already mine. And by the way, when I gave it to him, I told him, Peter, I'm going to want this back. When God gave it to you, he told you, I'm going to want this back. For Tyler, and Tyler, I will give you your money back at the end of chapel. I'm not giving Peter's back because it was mine. For Tyler, he said, now he gave it to me. Again, I know Tyler's not broke and it wasn't every last penny that he had. If I said, Tyler, I'd like for you to go clean out your bank account and bring me all of that, that might be a different story. But it was a little more hesitation. It wasn't quite willing. You know, it's one thing to spend, that's the dollar. To be spent is to give everything that you have. And Paul says, I will gladly spend and be spent. I looked up these two words, just the way that they're used in this particular passage. And the word spend, in the way that it's used here, means to incur cost. In other words, to offer something that's going to cost me something. And just to do that is some level of maturity and spiritual maturity. Now, some of you are glad to spend. Brother King, I'm glad to spend. I'll spend at Starbucks. I'll spend at Ross. I'll spend at the grocery store. I'll spend at the square. I'll spend at the bookstore. And maybe, or even say, Brother King, I'm the spiritual one. I'm willing to spend on my bus kids. I'm willing to spend on my bus route. I'm willing to spend to pay somebody's City Baptist bill. Those are all blessings. Those are all good things. But it's one thing to say, I'm willing to spend. That's not the same as saying, I'm willing to be spent. That be spent, the way that it's used there, the word that's used for that, it means to expend wholly or to exhaust. It's the difference between giving something that will cost me something and giving everything I have. Giving everything I've got. These guys sound like they're in pain back here, so I'm going to bring them out. You guys are wondering if Tyler's still alive back here, right? All right, come on out, guys. Were you doing them with them?
Yes, sir.
Oh, TJ's good moral support. He was doing them with them. All right. Tyler, give me 10 push-ups. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Give him a hand. All right. You guys can go be seated. That's one of the reasons I didn't want somebody that was playing basketball today. But you know what that just told me? Tyler wasn't spent. just like for Tyler Huckins, he wasn't completely spent. He gave me something that cost him something. And then he gave me something that cost him even more. But he didn't give me everything he had. Tyler, I'm sure he would have kept doing push-ups back there, and TJ probably would have done them with him until their arms fell off. I don't have that much time, okay? So I'm not trying to criticize Tyler. I believe that he did what he could while he was back there. But the thing is, right, you understand, they continued to spend, but they weren't spent. Somebody go outside, Christian DeMoville, go outside and get those guys for me. Bring them in here. For you and I, the difference between spending and being spent. Now, I will say this, as you think about this, and I understand who I'm preaching to and college young people, and I know that the people in this room, many of you keep very challenging schedules. And you work hard at school, you work to have a walk with the Lord, you work in your... Keep it up, Bobby. Come on up here. Everything you got. As loud as you can, man. Give me everything you got. That's it? He's done. He just quit. But he still, understand this. He didn't have quite as much vigor when he came back in as he did when he was up here. You understand that, right? Now, do you think that he loves the Florida State Seminoles any less now? No, he's probably wishing they had a different cheer, but he's not. He doesn't love them any less. He's still a loyal fan. He's still passionate about that. But when he was outside, he didn't give everything he had because he still had some left when he came back in. He wasn't completely spent. He didn't exhaust all of his resources. And when Paul says, "More gladly, therefore, will I spend and be spent for you." He said in the previous verse, and I said, mark this, we're going to come back to this. He said, "I seek not yours, but you." He said, the reason that I'm passionate, the reason that I'm doing this, the reason that I'm about this is not for what I can get from it and what you can do for me. My heart is not for... It's the difference between using your people to build your work and using your work to build your people. He says, I care about you. Not about yours, not about what you can do for me, not about what I can get from you. I care about you. I'm passionate about you. And therefore, more gladly, therefore, will I spend and be spent. He says, I'm happy to do what I'm doing to the point of exhausting every resource I have. And we know that Paul ultimately did exactly that. He literally gave his life for the Lord, but for the sake of the gospel and the opportunity to reach these people with the gospel. That was his heart, and he did follow through all the way to the very end. He said, I will very gladly. That's a big statement. Very gladly. There's one thing, you know, these guys did the things that I asked them to do willingly to a certain extent. Tyler didn't say, yeah, Brother King, let me give you my money and I'll go get some more money. I got money. This isn't all I got. I got more that I can go get. Let me run to the ATM quick and I'll get you some more because I got more in the bank. I'll give you everything I've got. He said, okay. Because I already know you said you're not giving Peter's money back. So now I'm a little bit more cautious, right? Tyler, when I asked him to do the first 10 push-ups, yeah, because I'm in front of 400 people. It's my birthday. Bless God. You let me take my tie off. I'll do 10 push-ups. Yeah, absolutely. When I asked him, do you see his body language when he came back out the second time? And I said, give me 10 more. Okay. All right. And he did. Bobby was still cheering when he came back in, not quite as passionately as before. I'm done. I'm ready to sit down. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent. Let me say this before I move on, young people. This is not Brother King challenging you, hey, you need to sleep less, you need to do more. You need, if you're already only sleeping 4 hours a night, you need to be sleeping 2 hours a night because God wants more from you. And you need to be exhausted and worn out and kill yourself by the time you're 22 and get out of college. If you didn't, then you didn't really give everything you had. That's not what I'm talking about here, so don't do that, okay? What I am saying is, most Christians that love the Lord, that want to walk with God and are well-intentioned, are willing to spend. They're willing to give God something that costs them something. But are you willing to be spent? Are you willing to give God everything? Most of us, when we commit to the Lord, when we surrender to the Lord, it's conditional. We might not say it's conditional, but it's, God, I'm willing to give in to you. I'm willing to give you your way. I want you to have your way. My intentions are I want you to have your way in my life. But, I mean, Lord, you know. Paul had been through a lot. He said, I'm going to glory in my infirmity. I'll gladly spend and be spent. I'm thankful for the trials because in my trials is where God is. You know, when you say, God, I'm willing to take that step of faith and I don't see it. I don't understand how this is going to work, but I've prayed about it. I'm walking with you and I believe that this is what you want. And I don't see it. And I don't understand. And it scares me. When's the last time that you attempted something for God that if God didn't intervene, you were going to fall flat on your face? And I'm not talking about trying to paint God in a corner and you average 10 on your bus, so this fall program, you're going to say, God, I want 200 on my bus, and if you don't do it, it's because you failed. There's nothing wrong with praying for 200 on your bus, by the way. God can do that, but what I'm saying is for you to be willing to take a step out on faith, and it's not just about God, it's about Paul saying, I will spend. He said, I'm not just expending God's grace on you, I'm giving you everything I have. And he says this at the end of the verse. He says, though the more abundantly I love you, what? The less I be loved. You're going to find oftentimes in ministry, in life, sometimes the more you do for people, the less they appreciate it. How many of you have ever given a dollar to a bus kid? How many of you give a dollar to the same bus kid every week? Right? Some of you do, or every other week, whatever. You understand that you do that 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, the first week, oh man, thank you. At least some of them will be. And then the second week, they ask you, oh, thank you. And then the third week, they're like, hey, can I get that dollar? And then fourth week, they're like, hey, you owe me a dollar. Then the fifth week, they're like, hey, can I get a 20? You know, the dollars, it just keeps me from having to keep come asking you. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Oftentimes, the more you do for people, the more that you love people, the more that you invest in people, the less they'll appreciate it. The more they'll begin to expect it. And that happens sometimes. Paul says that's what's happening. He says, the more that I love you, the less you understand. And sometimes, for Paul, some of his love and some of the way that he showed his love was challenging them to a higher level of dedication and a higher level of holiness and raising the expectation because he loved them and his love for them was growing. And he said, I know I loved you to this point, but now you're here and I know what God has for you here. And so I'm going to love you more and try to point you more and raise the expectations and raise your level of spirituality and maturity. And he says, that's what I'm working for. And the more that I do that, the more that I expect from you. Sometimes we think the more people love us, the less they'll expect from us. But that's not really the way that it is. And Paul says, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But I'm glad to do it because I'm not doing it for what I'm getting back from you. I'm doing it because that's my heart. He says, I will gladly spend and be spent. We had the guys, and I could, there's several other areas, but just some areas that you can spend financially, physically, emotionally. We talked about all three of those things today. For Tyler Huckins, it was financially. is willing to spend. Tyler Bowling, physically. Bobby, emotionally. Ones that I was struggling with a good way to illustrate this, and I came up with some ideas but decided not to. A couple more areas, though, mentally. You guys, Brother King, that's what I do in class, right? Mentally exhausted. Very few of you are actually mentally exhausted because you put everything into your classes, but some of you are. But you say mental exhaustion. But here's a big one, young people. Spiritually exhausted. Spiritually spent. And I'll be honest with you. Most of us don't regularly experience spiritual exhaustion, but you will come to points in your life where you're going to endure some things that if you endure them the right way, you're going to get to the end of a trial or a test or just a very busy season of your life, and you may very well get to a point where you're spiritually spent. You say, I've just got nothing left. Give it everything I have. But if you actually do that, you'll only do that. You'll be spiritually exhausted. If you're walking with the Lord and you have a walk with God, you can still reach a point of spiritual exhaustion, spiritually being spent. But you can rest in the Lord knowing, and you can rejoice in that. You can glory in that because God's given you. If you're spiritually spent, it's because you've been investing in people. It's because you've been doing something for the Lord. You've been doing the Lord's work. And he says, I will gladly do that. But in all of those areas, you know, some people are willing. Brother King, I'll spend and be spent financially. I'll give everything I have. The reason I can't pay my school bills is because I gave it all to the bus kids. That's not wise financial management, by the way. You need to pay your school bill. That's why you're here. But he says, look, you might say, I'm willing to spend financially. Or some of you might go down to the gym and you're like, I'm gonna max out. Right? I'm going to push everything I have. I'm going to go until I'm spent and I can't give any more. And I'm willing to do that. Why? Because I'm trying to get in shape, trying to bulk up, trying to whatever. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes emotionally, you might go out on a bus and by the time you get back, how many of you guys, by the time you come back on Sunday night after Saturday and Sunday, you are emotionally spent, right? From night bus or from all the leading singing and all this stuff, yelling, screaming, you know, you've given it everything you have, and you get back Sunday night and you just fall into bed. If you jump into bed, it's because you're not spent. If you fall into bed, it's probably because you're just spent, right? You're just exhausted. You just boom, don't even care. You know, you wake up the next morning still in your suit and tie and don't even know what happened. And then you realize that it's Tuesday. Right? Why? Because you're spent. You're just spent. But he says, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He says, I'm not seeking yours. It's not about what you can do for me. So the children shouldn't lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Spiritually speaking, he's the parent. He says, I'm going to give everything I can. You know, parents, all of us guys on the platform here are parents. And we would do anything for our children. We want to give our children a better life than we had. We want to leave them in a good situation. We want to do everything we can to help our children. That's the way that it should be. And I'm not, you know, I didn't have kids, and I'm not raising kids to see what I can get out of them. Right? I'm not, you know, I'm doing this, you better, you know, I expect you to make me a millionaire when you grow up. No, I want to do everything I can to give them the best chance that they can have to succeed. Because that's the heart of a good parent. Succeed spiritually and physically, financially, mentally, all of those things. Paul says, that's my heart for you. You've heard the quote before, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. My question for you, and I'm done this morning, is simply this. Are you willing to just spend, or are you willing to be spent? And then you say, well, I'm willing to be spent. That's easy to say. Let me ask you this. Are you spending or are you being spent? Are you really giving it everything you have? Are you giving it everything you have? And again, I'm not talking about you need to sleep less. I'm talking about in your classes. Can you honestly say, Brother King, every class this semester, I'm giving it 100%. And your ministry on the weekends. Are we there to hang out with our friends and have lunch together and maybe knock on a few doors and visit a couple kids? Or are we there to be spent? Your walk with the Lord. Your devotional life. Are you willing to spend and be spent? Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now you know you've finished your course when you're spent. When can I be done serving, Brother King? When you don't have anything else to give. When you're spent. I love the fact, I think about our staff here, Mrs. Moffitt. We just celebrated 50 years of teaching. I believe with all my heart that Mrs. Moffitt's passion is to be spent for you. I believe that about all of our staff here. It's one of the greatest honors of my life to work with the staff that I get to work with here. But I believe we have a group of young people here that really do have a heart, many of you, to be spent for the Lord. But are you holding something back? And if so, where is it that you're holding something back? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand, if you would, please. I'm spending, Lord. It's not between me and you. It's between you and Him. He knows if He's getting everything you have. He knows if you're just giving Him a dollar or if you're giving Him everything in your wallet. He'll give you the strength that you need. Pastor says He'll give givers something to give. He'll provide for your needs. Brother Joe Palmer preached a great message yesterday, and he said something to me this morning about preaching, and that he was praying for me, and I said, do you have anything for me to preach? And he said, I've got nothing. He said, I've got nothing left. Meaning, I'm spent. Gave it everything I had. That's a good feeling. Heavenly Father, I do pray that You would help us to be spent. Help us to want to be spent. Oftentimes, I feel like in our lives, Lord, we're holding back for what? What are we holding back for? What are we holding back from? Help us to be willing to spend and be spent. Help us to be glad to spend and be spent. For You and for people. God, would You bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.